appreciate the humble prayer and the good song service, all that we've enjoyed this morning thus far. Appreciate also very much your attendance today. It's an encouragement to me to have you there in the congregation, and you serve to encourage one another as you meet together to worship the Lord in this so troubled world. And seeing God's people gather together, the hymn writer said, "Behold, how delightful it is to see a whole assembly worship thee." At once they sing, at once they pray. They hear of heaven and learn the way. And it is a great privilege today to be able to stand before you and speak to you about Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. The way to heaven and the highway here for us in this world to live in a way to honor Him and glorify Him is a pathway of peace and rest and joy that God's little children in the past have found. And I believe in our own lives we can say we have from time to time walked in that sweet highway, and pray that we'll be able to this morning be lifted up for a little while from the cares of this world and focus our thoughts on the Lord, find peace in a world that knows no peace outside of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read to you this morning from a passage of Scripture in the book of Mark chapter 5. And if you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'd like to begin reading at verse 22. We'll read down through the end of chapter 5, which is through verse 43. Mark chapter 5, verse 22 through 43. My thoughts have been surrounding Hebrews 11 and Isaiah 40 and Mark 5 and all over the place today. I pray that He will bless us with thought of clarity and the ability to express things in a way that would be beneficial to you, the Lord's people, and I won't be so scattered. And yet I also will be willing to leave wherever He would have me to leave and go where He would have me to go and speak what He would have me to speak in a way that was honoring and glorifying to the Lord. He knows what you need better than I know. But our mind has been very much impressed this morning with this passage. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth a tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Brother Forrest spoke on this passage over at White Oak Church during their union meeting. Some of the things that were spoken there and the thoughts surrounding the things he presented kind of just stayed on my mind. And I thank the Lord when that happens. It's good when you go to church and you hear something that stays with you. And I hope you'll hear something today that'll stay with you. It's good to get stirred up for the moment. It's good to feel the Lord's presence when you're in a congregation. But it also is important to have something with you, so that when you go out into this old world, you have something that'll hold your life together, help you, instruct you along the way. We need to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. And we need to learn more about His Word. One of the purposes of the church, of course, the most important purpose, is we're here to worship the Lord. We're here to praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing that is, to thank Him for all that He's done. Hope we remember mothers, and we're thankful for good mothers, but above all, we ought to be thankful to the Lord and remembering the Lord today. And how much do we have? We have mothers, we have a lot to be thankful for. And most of us could sit down and write a whole list of things that we could think about our mothers and how they've been a blessing to us. But when we think about the Lord, the list, though long for mothers, is not comparable to the Lord, because mothers are on His list too. So everything that you give to the mother as far as thanks, you can take that and pull it off that list and put it right on the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for that mama. Thank you, Lord, for that daddy. Thank you, Lord, for that family. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. We live often very unthankful, taking so much for granted. Sometimes complaining. Y'all don't, I know, but I do a lot. Sometimes disappointed. Sometimes sad when we ought to be happy. When we ought to be rejoicing, murmuring. And what we want to do is be able to feed God's little children today so that we might be better encouraged, comforted, edified, and reminded of the things we ought to be thankful for. We pray the Lord will bless us enough that we'll be able to see it not only today, but you can carry it on in tomorrow and the rest of the week, when who knows what's coming. We don't know what's coming. We don't know what's in front of us. We don't know what. I've got some plans for today. Hopefully we'll conclude this meeting as the Lord blesses us. Hope He'll be with us in the preaching. We hope to travel up the road and be with the brethren in Martinsburg. We don't have a clue we'll get there. We don't have a clue that the world will still be here. The Lord may return. What a day that would be if the Lord would return, because He's coming, and we're looking forward to that. We're trusting in the Lord. We're leaning upon the Lord. We're depending upon the Lord today for what we have. And at this moment, this is a moment we're here today to worship Him. We're here to honor Him, to praise Him and thank Him for all that He's done for us. And also to remember He's the one in the midst of all the things we've talked about, and that we have great need, who is able to meet above anything we can ask or think our needs. And it is those needs that drove this little man and this little woman to come to the Lord. This man had a big problem. He was a ruler. It says, Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And to be at the feet of Jesus as a ruler of the synagogue meant you're changing your whole life. Everything's changing. My whole direction's changing. My job changing. My life is changing. My acquaintances are changing. Everything I know about life and what I've known up to this point is going another direction. And before I get way off track here, I want you to know anybody who's ever made any change made it because there was a change made in them first. But because there was a change made in him, obviously by the grace of Almighty God, there were some changes that he needed to make as a result of that, that the Lord had required of him, that the Lord had directed him and taught him in his heart. There were some things that he ought to be doing, some things you and I today ought to be doing and need to be doing. Because whether you know it or not, or I think you probably do, or whether I know it or not, you and I also have a lot of need this morning. You got some needs? We talked about 10 minutes this morning about needs as we brought them before the congregation. Shoulders hurting, knees hurting, people sick, folks have passed on, some suddenly, some having a lot of trouble in this old world. Young and old here this morning offered and asked about things. And it seems like so many things, you could get overwhelmed with that, doesn't you? I mean, it seems like so many things. And the more I think about all the needs there are in this world, and I think about my ability to do anything about it, I can surely get discouraged about that. If I don't have someone to hear, I need to hear again about someone who's a whole lot bigger than me. And a whole lot bigger than you. And that's who we're talking about today. Jairus, no doubt, had a lot of things that had been, he felt a benefit to him from the synagogue and be a ruler of the synagogue. But he saw something that would be able to meet his needs that the synagogue just was not going to give him. Now, those who were under the law were a blessed people to be under the law. Under the Old Testament covenant, it was a blessing to be under the Old Testament covenant. The Jewish people were a blessed nation, blessed of the Lord. They had been given the law of Moses. They had been given the direction from Mount Sinai of how to live. They'd been given the commandments. They'd been shown the beautiful picture. Someone asked about the ark. Brother Jack asked about the ark, the beautiful picture of the ark and all of the tabernacle service and the furniture of the tabernacle that all pointed to Jesus Christ and his coming, and all the sacrifices that were there were great, great blessings. And those that had those things were greatly blessed if they understood what all the little shadows and types were pointing to. But many of them saw only the outward things and did not see the beauty of what they really pictured in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They could not see it unless the Lord opened their eyes, and that's true today. We're living in a world of great need, and some people don't know their need, but those of us who have been blessed by the grace of God to know your need, it's important also to know there's one who's able to meet your needs. There's one who's able to keep you. There's one who has opened your eyes and opened your ears and opened your heart and given you the ability to trust and lean and depend upon him, and yet he has also commanded you to do that. There's something for you and I to do today. We're not to do it in order to become his children or to be born of his spirit. But we are to do it because we have been born of the spirit and we are his children. And because of that, you and I ought to be trusting in him today. He says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet." And if we read over in Mark, real quickly over in Mark chapter 9, we'll see that he came there and he said it while he spake, verse 18, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler," this is Jairus, "and worshiped him. He didn't just fall at his feet because he tripped. He didn't just fall at his feet just to show him some honor. He was not only honoring him, he was worshiping him. And here we have a ruler of the synagogue who saw Jesus as much more than just a man. And by the way, if Jesus had been just a man and he had been just a good man, what he would have done or should have done was say, "Get up, don't worship me, because there is no one to be worshipped but God." Now Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't just a man. He was verily man and he was verily God. He wasn't 50-50. He was 100% man and he was God. He was Emmanuel, who is by interpretation God with us. He came and was born into this world and took upon himself a body of flesh. This is the same one who was with God in the beginning, who verily was God. And the reason that this man was not corrected by this good man, Jesus, was because Jesus wasn't just a man, he was verily God. Isn't it wonderful how the Bible, throughout the scriptures, points to the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ? There be many people today, even those that would call themselves Christian, that would deny that Jesus was anything more than just one of the prophets or just a good man. Brethren, I want you to know, in order to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that Jesus not only was a man, but he was altogether God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the eternal Son who was with the Father in the beginning. He's always been. He always has been, always will be. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the first and the last. He is the author and finisher. He's everything. And this brother, a ruler of the synagogue, was blessed by the grace of God to see that. And I'll tell you what, his need drove him to that place. You know, sometimes we wonder, why do we have needs? You ever wonder about why you have things happen? You ever wonder about why you're going through a hard time or difficulty? Why can't I just get what I want when I want it? Why can't I just have everything work out the way I want it to work out? Why do I have to have something bad happen? Why does that have to happen to my children? Why does that happen to my family? Why are those things happening? There are many scoffers in this world that would tell you if there was really a God and he was really all powerful, you'd never have any of those things or those difficulties. Little children, don't let those things and those difficulties fool you in thinking, or allow scoffers to fool you in thinking because you have them, that means that he's really not on his throne, or he really doesn't have the power to stop it, or he really doesn't know about it. I want us to understand without a doubt today, our God is on his throne, and even in the midst of those troubles and those problems and those difficulties, he is working and bringing things about that we would never be able to learn as well as we would learn them that way. Now, I wanted to say this right up front so you don't misunderstand me. God doesn't cause every single thing that happens to happen just that way. But I'm telling you, he is in control in this world. His will. He works his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay his hand or say, "What doest thou?" And he knew about this little girl before the man ever came and asked about her. He knew about him coming. He knew about where he was going. He didn't get up that morning and say, "I wonder what I'm going to do today." He was here in this world to fulfill the very will of the Father. And as a man, he went, of course, by faith, trusting in God. But as God, he went knowing absolutely everything that he would ever do from the first to the last. He knew exactly where he was going that morning and what he was going to do and who he was going to see and how it was going to happen. There wasn't anything that was hidden from him. And I want you to know that's true today about your life and my life. I hope that makes you feel a little better in this old world. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows? Aren't you thankful the one who loves you knows? Not only does he know, but he cares. His heart is touched with our grief, the hymn writer wrote. Can he feel what I feel? Can he know what I know? Yes, he became a man, and our high priest is one who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities because he was in all points tempted like you and I, and yet he failed not in one of those things. He always overcame. He was victorious in every extent of the way. And I want you to know, brethren, in him we are also made more than conquerors through him that loved us. It says, "Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death." He had left his daughter, and she was just nigh to death. You ever had an emergency happen and you start going and you want to do something about it and you run this way and you run that way and you don't hardly know what to do and you feel like you need to fix it right now and you're afraid something's going to happen and if you don't get it done, this is emergency and you often don't know what to do. This dear man knew by the grace of God there was only one who could really help him, and he went directly to him and he got there and he said, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death," and he said, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." You know, the Bible says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." This man was already taught of God that Jesus was the answer, that he was the way and the truth and the life. He was led to the Father and he came to Jesus. He came by faith. Hebrews 11 tells us that that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, brethren, do you and I have faith this morning? Well, it would be sad if we had asked all these things this morning and said pray about them if we didn't. Evidently, we must have faith that there's a God who could hear it. Why would we present all these things? We would consider it certainly a waste of time to pray if we didn't have faith. We have to have faith to believe that there's a God to pray to if you're praying, don't you? Yeah. How could you pray if you don't have faith? We don't see and talk to God physically in the same way we see and talk to one another. We don't handle him with our hands, or we're not able to lay our hands on him physically in that sense. But have you felt his presence with you? Have you felt the touch of his gentle hand? Have you been able to lean on his everlasting arms? Have you been able to come unto him and cry unto him and feel him present with you in your home? And even as you're driving down the highways, oh, there sometimes he feels and seems to be so far away, and that's just because I get cold. But he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And I want you to know this morning, as he came to him and found Jesus here by the grace of God, you and I also are to come to him. We come unto him. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you need rest in this old troubled world? Do you need some answers in a world that's so full of questions? Do you need some solid ground on which to build your life and to build your family and to live your life? And as we go through this world, you know, it's just so quick. I just thought, you know, it just seemed like yesterday. Jimmy mentioned it seemed like yesterday Leah was graduating from kindergarten. It just seemed like yesterday I held her in my hand when she was born. Just a little thing. And that quick, time has moved so rapidly. And to see all that's progressing. And we don't know what the Lord has in store for us, but I'll tell you what, he has been with me and with my family and with us as a church and as a congregation, down through many ups and downs, some high times that have been so high that I can't thank him enough, and some low times that seem so dark and down, I didn't know whether we'd ever see up again. And I'm not weeping, little ones, because I'm sad. I'm weeping because I'm happy. I'm not wailing and murmuring like those mourners were over this one who had died. But I want to be trusting in the one who said, "Why are you weeping? What are you making this ado about? She's not dead. She's just sleeping." And I'm telling you, every one of them in the cemeteries around us that belong to the Lord, they're not dead. They're just sleeping. Their spirit and their soul are with the Lord. And their body's asleep. But I'm telling you, one day he's coming and going to awaken every one of them. There's going to be a reuniting of the body and the soul and the spirit, and they'll be forever, we'll be forever with the Lord. And because of that, life is worth the living. And death ain't so bad. Oh, when I get sick, I'm going to the doctor. And if he can help me, I'm going to try to get his help. I'm going to pray that the good Lord, I got a doctor who'll pray with me. Thank the Lord for that. I'll pray and he'll pray that what he gives me helps me. But if it doesn't help me, it's a win-win situation. If I live, it'll be to his glory and praise, I hope. And if I don't live to his praise and glory, it'll be better for me to go on. Because if I belong to him, there's nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I pray he'll continue to bless us. This little brother was blessed by the grace of God to see that. And he said, "My daughter's probably gone.
but I'm coming to the one who can help me. He said, if you'll just come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. Oh, you know he's happy. You know when Jesus goes with you, you're okay. I don't know what's coming, but I know if he's with me, I'm going to be okay. And he was all right. He said, Jesus is with me. I'm going. We're going. And I'm sure he was encouraged by that. Don't you think he was encouraged? The one I've asked to come is coming. He didn't say, I can't help you, buddy. He's at the feet of Jesus. He's not demanding anything. He's begging. He's a beggar. You're here today as a beggar. And I'm praying, Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, and we pray, not my will, but thy will be done. It wasn't a demand he made that she be healed. I'm telling you, whatever Jesus' will was in this matter, it was going to be all right for the man, and it was going to be all right for the daughter, because they were in the hands of an almighty covenant-keeping God who cannot deny himself. And it wasn't because of anything they deserved. If we got what we deserved, the wages of sin is death. And he would have been separated from the Lord with no help. And you and I are in that same boat. It's only by the grace and the mercy of God that we have an ability to come to him and trust in him. Somebody said, well, I'm just not good enough to call on him. Listen, if you feel like you're good enough, you need to be struck down so you see you're not good enough. It's when we see ourselves to be the least among the brethren that and at the feet of Jesus, and that is at the feet of the brethren as well, that we'll find great peace. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. In other words, there was a crowd. And I'm not going to deal, if I get into this little woman, we won't get any farther. Y'all have heard me probably more times than when I read that text in your hearing this morning, you probably said, oh, here we go again on the woman, because I've talked about her a lot. And I might do it yet, because she's a dear little sister. She just pictures so many that are struggling with religious bondage in this world today. She was sick. And was trying to get better. And there are many sin sick today that are trying to get better, and they're using this work system and that work system and this idea and that idea, and they're trying to find a peace with their maker here in this world. And rather than finding any peace, they're just getting sicker and sicker and sicker, and they spend all that they've gotten, all that they have, and go to this physician and that physician and suffer at the hands of the religious physicians of this world. Until they come to the only one that can really help us. And brethren, I'll tell you, if you and I are not trusting today in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're trusting in something that will not help us. When you rest in what he's done for you, you can sleep well at night. I encourage you to do that. And she said, if I could just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she was. You know, and I've kind of missed the idea along the way for whatever reason, and Brother Forrest kind of stirred that up, that there was that daddy and that little girl sick. You know, he's probably saying, Lord, we got to get there. We need to get to the house. She's about to die. And Jesus has stopped because there's another one in need. You know what's wonderful about Jesus? He can fix this one and this one and this one and this one and that one. And sometimes you say, well, I don't know whether he can help me. He's so busy. Sometimes in our little minds, and sometimes it's our big minds that get in the way. But sometimes we think, will he see me? Will he notice me? Listen, he notices every one of his sheep. He didn't leave one in the fold and leave nine. He left 99 and went to get that one little wayfaring sheep. And when he got there, he put that little lamb up on his shoulder and brought it back and said, rejoice with me, because that which is lost I've found. And he's with you, dear child. You ever get to feeling like I'm all alone, and he's not there, but he is. He's right there. And I'm sure this daddy was going like, I don't want to speculate or add, but I can imagine. What would you be doing? I was going, you know, when I'm trying to get across town, I'm going like, something's got to go here. We need to get there. And yet what he saw had to encourage him. He sees this little woman who comes, who has an issue of blood for 12 years, and all of a sudden he's watching. And Jesus, as she reaches out, he doesn't even touch her, she touches him. And by the way, if he had been just a man, he would have become just ceremonially unclean. Her uncleanness would have gone on to him. What happened, because he wasn't just a man, the power of Almighty God, who he was, went out of him, virtue went out of him and into her. And she being unclean didn't make him unclean with her touch. Him being completely clean made her completely clean with his touch, or rather her touching even just the hem of his garment. I want you to know the blood of Calvary flowed all the way back and all the way forward, and it covered every little heir promise from the Old Testament characters all the way to the last one that will ever be born in this world. And that blood is sufficient to wash away my sins and your sins and the sins of every one of God's elect people. He said, comfort ye my people. God has a people. And that people were known in covenant, and made an everlasting covenant was made before the foundation of the world. They were given to the Son. The Son came and died on the tree of the cross, and blood flowed that day and washed away the sin debt of every little child of grace. Because of that, that little woman, when she reached out and touched the hem of her garment, of his garment, she was made whole. And this doesn't say it here. I'm on the woman again, aren't I? Doesn't say it here, but she tried to hide. She was moved. She knew she was healed. She was so humbled, she just thought, oh, if I could just hide. You ever have him touch you? You just want to keep it secret sometimes, don't you? Because he's really, oh, that was good. Don't want to tell anybody about that. Listen, he didn't let her stay hid. He called her out. He's not going to let you stay hid either. It's to his glory and to his honor and to his praise. He called her out. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, here they hear all of what had taken place, those that were around. And you know who was in that crowd? Jairus was right there in that crowd. And he's thinking, oh boy, the answer's right here. I'm on the right track. Here's my answer. Here's the one. He's healed this dear woman. I've heard this testimony. And we're going to be there. We're going to get to the daughter. Everything's going to be fine. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? You ever get some discouraging news along the way? Seems like things are going really well. Things are going good. Seems like this opened up. This door opens up. This way seems like it's going. I'm on the right path. The Lord's with me. I feel His presence. And then all of a sudden you get a discouraging, or seemingly a discouraging news. Something didn't go the way you thought. You know, a lot of times, like I said before, a lot of times in my prayers I kind of say, Lord, this is what I'd like to have happen. And kind of this is the way I wanted to have it. Have you come to see with me that God does His will the way He wants to do it, and works His will the way He wants to? He not wants, He commands it to be. He doesn't do it Gary's way. He does it the right way. And those two things are different. My way and His way are not the same way. His ways are higher above my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts, than the heavens are above the earth. And what God does, He moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. Here, right along the way, you know, she wouldn't have had to pass. Do you think that was in the control of Almighty God? I believe life and death is in God's hands, don't you? Don't you believe unto God belongs the issues of life and death? That's what the Bible says. And this little girl didn't have to pass, but oh, the mighty miracle that was seen here. Even so much that here in 2014, we're talking about it this morning, of what the Lord is able to do. While he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? In other words, let's give up now. She's gone. Don't bother him. I love the words of Jesus. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken,
He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Is believing important? Is believing important to us? The Old Testament says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Believing, trusting, depending on the Lord, leaning on Him. Those things are an evidence of the faith that God has given us. God has worked in us. God has worked in our hearts. God has given us the ability. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is by faith that we're able to please the Lord. It is by faith that we live as the just in this world. The just shall live by faith. It doesn't mean we get righteous by believing. It means we are looked upon and the righteousness of Christ is imputed upon us as we do believe, not to fit us for heaven and immortal glory. Listen, our home in heaven and immortal glory was purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our sins were washed away, and sometimes God's little children are believing and trusting, and sometimes they're doubting. And we don't go in and out of our eternal salvation based on that. But I'm telling you, our peace and our rest and our joy is dependent upon us believing and trusting in the Lord. And that's for down here, not for over there. Listen, one day we'll get over there. We won't need to believe anymore. We're in the sense of having faith and hope will come to an end. Love will live on. But we'll know as we're known. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And we'll be able to see Him face to face. Won't it be wonderful when we're able to look at Him face to face with a glorified body, glorified eyes, and handle Him and thank Him and even know about all that He's done for us. Oh, He's working in our lives every day. Some days we're running along thinking we're all by ourselves, getting along all in this world all by ourselves, and the Lord's hand is upon our life every single day. And I believe one of the beauties of heaven will be understanding all that He really has done for us here in this world, things that we haven't had a glimpse of. And the most wonderful thing He did was when He went to Calvary and in His own body He took my sins, every lie, every transgression, every time, you know, I have a good mother, but I told my mama some lies along the way. I'm confessing this morning. Brother Terry, you better watch that with mama sitting there next to you. We've all messed up. Our Savior never messed up. Believing doesn't save us eternally, but it sure saves us here in this world. He said, listen, be not afraid, only believe. Oh, there's something you're going to be able to see, and there's a rest you can have right now. You don't have to wait till I get there and do what I'm going to do to have that rest. Don't let someone come in and rob you of that rest. There are scoffers in this world that will tell you things that cause you to have your faith shaken. And oh, I want us to be ready for. Listen, there's an adversary that would have you not believe. He'll tell you in a minute, don't trust. You've been trusting in the Lord, and where has that gotten you? And it, you know, and then there are men and women of this world that'll cause you to say, well, where has that gotten you? And what I'm saying to you is, listen, we have one who we are to depend upon and lean upon, and that's the Lord. He said, be not afraid, only believe. And He suffered no man to follow Him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogues and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when He was come in, He said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And the Jews had a custom that when one died, they would come in and mourn. And they didn't mourn in order to make people feel better. They mourned in order to make people feel more mourning. It wasn't words to make you feel better. It was words to cause you to wail and mourn and grieve even more. Listen, what we have in the gospel should make you feel worse. You should come in and feel better. I don't want you to come today and say, "Well, sure, what I heard sure makes me feel worse." If we're going and making us feel worse, something's wrong. The gospel, he said, comfort ye, my people. And Jesus was not there to commend them for what they were doing. When he came in there, and there they were, and they were almost like professionals, that they were just there to cause people to mourn. And when he was come in, he says, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." Now listen, there is some healthy mourning when we lose a loved one that can take place. There is some weeping that you do. If you lose someone close to you, you're going to cry. You're going to weep. You're going to mourn because you loved them. But we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. And what we want to do is understand there's a little bit that we ought to do as far as weeping. But you and I, we be not afraid, only believe. How many times can that verse come to you and me in our life when I'm in a place and I go like, "Oh, I'm shaking." And I go like, "Be not afraid, only believe." When I get bad news, "Be not afraid, only believe." I want you to carry that with us as you go into this week and you face things. Be not afraid, only believe when you have that news come. And listen, you're in a world that's going to come. This world is not a friendly place. Real quick, I want to read just a passage, and it's come to my mind, and we'll look at it. Job 7, real quick. He says, Job 7, and Job has gone through a hard and a difficult time here. He says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? As a servant earnestly desiring the shadow, as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, 'When shall I arise?' And the night be gone, and I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day." I'll tell you what, you read some places over here with Brother Job, and of course we had been in Brother Job's shoes, we'd have been probably right there with him, and sometimes we are anyway. Job needed to hear the words of Jesus, and we need to hear the words of Jesus, and that's what he heard from the Father. He said, "Be not afraid, only believe." When he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. And there are people today laughing him to scorn, or trying to make fun of him and mock him and ridicule him. I'm telling you, there's going to come a time when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. There are some who are going to do that, thanks be to God, in a worshipful way. But even the devils themselves will tremble. And they'll have to, in submission, not in a way of worship, in the sense of praise, that they would be accepted with him. But they'll have to admit and acknowledge that he is Lord. And whatever he says, they'll have to do. As a matter of fact, they already do that. The devils believe and tremble. Brethren, don't let anybody shake you from trusting in this one who's a friend that's always going to stick closer than a brother, who will never let you down, who will avenge every adversary, who will put every foe in place. There is no weapon formed against you or him that can prosper. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember that. Remember that in him we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that's why this old brother, before it had ever happened, could have had peace. And did, I believe, as he trusted in the Lord. He says, "And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel." Doesn't say much about the mother, but we hear about the father, but there's a mother here too. And you know, she's been probably right there the whole time. And he takes them both in. You're talking about a Mother's Day present. And this wasn't for Mother's Day. This is just the power of Almighty God. And I'm telling you, he fills our lives with presence every single day. He's filled your day. You've got blessings that God has given you all around you, even this morning. How good he's been to us. "And when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel, by the hand and said unto her, Talitha Cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And I want you to know the one that said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise, was the same one who said, let there be light, and there was light. And when he spoke that light into existence, the light came on. And just as that was the case, this one, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. When he spoke that damsel was coming forth, because this was the very voice of the Son of God. The very voice of God. And straightway the damsel, how long? Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. He didn't say, okay, tell everybody. He didn't do it for the applause of men. He did it even as the Son of God, as the Son of Man. He did it to the honor and the praise of Almighty God. And when he said, give her something to eat, remind me what old Baptists do all the time. This one's living. Give her something to eat. I'm telling you. That's naturally speaking, but it's also spiritually speaking. The only ones you can feed spiritually are the ones he's made alive. This one's living. He's the only one. Nobody else could have brought him back to life. Nobody else could have given her life. He spoke life to her. He's the one who speaks life. And if you find someone spiritually alive today, Jesus gave them that life. It is you. You have he quickened. And then there's something for us to do, though. We give them something to eat. And I pray the Lord has blessed you with a crumb or two this morning. If it has, you give him the praise and the honor and the glory for that. And I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Pray for me, brother. What number? 4.